The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Donut Racing Show, where we bring a fresh squirrel liver mindset to the foie-gras-obsessed podium of Formula One racing. Doesn't that sound so good? My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined by one of my co-hosts, auto journalist and author Alanis King. Alanis, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. Just thinking about that liver still. And today we have a special guest joining us, one of the OGs of automotive YouTube, one of the longest running channels, I think, in the sphere. It's Jason Fenske from Engineering Explained. Jason, how are you?
I am great. Thank you all for having me. I'm also intrigued by this squirrel liver. I've been watching Alone recently, so it's like bringing in these visuals.
Oh, my husband watched that.
That's like the survival competition show, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's kind of horrifying. I go in the other room when he's watching it. I'm not into it.
I think I would like go a day and a half pretty solid and then like cut a finger off while trying to chop wood or something and be like, yeah, I'll keep going through it. I can keep going.
I could manage the cameras and nothing else.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
You go. I feel like Nolan would sit on the beach for a day and a half and then he would decide he needed shelter.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would, oh my God, I would totally use it as a chance just for a vacation, for sure.
100%. In today's episode, we're talking about the Belgian Grand Prix. But first, we want to get a little idea of Jason's relationship with Formula One.
You know, I'm excited that this is my first chance to be on this podcast because my first Formula One race that I ever attended was Spa in 2014.
Oh, wow.
Which was before Drive to Survive, so I have to like get mild credit.
Were you a fan of the sport long before that?
So I was. I was invited basically by Ferrari. It was a Ferrari sponsor. So got to go with Ferrari, which was awesome. It was when Kimi and Fernando were Ferrari's drivers. We're on a first name basis.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Actually, so there was a really awkward moment where I wasn't expecting to be able to ask either of them any questions because they're like, I was fresh into YouTube, like literally nobody and arrive. And there's this point where they're like, oh, okay, we'll let media ask some questions. And it like fed through a couple questions. And then they just, Fernando Alonso is like right in front of me. They put the mic in front of me and they're like, Jason, do you have a question for Fernando? And I just said, nope.
Jason, are you serious? You said nope.
I wasn't ready for it. I had no clue it was going to happen. I was like, everyone here is like more important than I am. I'll let them have their time. I'll just observe. And then they put the mic right in my face. And I was like, oh no, I'm not ready. And like, I just can't think on the fly like that. So I just, nope.
That's so funny, man.
And that's my only interaction ever with Fernando Alonso. Another embarrassing story happened on this trip, actually. So I'm flying over. I'm starting to feel sick on the plane. I'm like, uh-oh, I don't feel great. So I go up to the bathroom, and I'm waiting because someone's inside. Then this, like, little old lady comes by, and I'm like, uh-oh, like, she needs to go. Like, I'm going to give her priority. And so, like, I feel like I'm sick. Like, I need to be in that bathroom. But anyways, this lady's coming. So I put my arms up, like, because I was like, I'm going to fall over. Like, I just don't feel good. So I put my arms up so she could walk underneath me to get to the bathroom. Then I wake up. Like, I passed out in that moment. I put my arms up. Well, this lady's going to the plane. So I wake up. There's, like, a doctor from the plane, you know, somebody that they called from on board. And they're like, first thing we do when we land, you got to go to the hospital. Make sure you're okay because I passed out. And I kept thinking in my head, I was like, no, like, I'm going to be in a Ferrari with Marc Genet in, like, 2 hours. And if I go to the hospital, there's no chance this is happening.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I just went, you know, like, pretended nothing happened. They're like, you're going to go to the hospital, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. Got off, like, go find the sponsor, get in the car with Marc Genet, which was sick, and rode around in a Ferrari. It was the first time I'd been in a Ferrari, so it was, like, very exciting. Yeah.
Wow.
Did you fall on the poor little lady?
I don't think so. Because I hit my head on the way down on, like, one of the cabinets. And I remember one of the flight attendants coming over and being like, you hit your head pretty hard on that. And I was like, oh, dang.
Good thing I was unconscious when I hit my head, because otherwise I would have felt it.
I felt amazing afterwards. Like, passing out was the reset my body needed, and then I was ready to go.
Oh, hell yeah.
Except for when they asked you to ask Fernando something. You were not ready to go.
Yeah, well, I can blame that on hitting the cabinet.
That's crazy.
Anyways, that's my relationship with Formula One.
I don't think too many people hit their heads this weekend, but a lot did happen, including a sprint race and a beloved team principal's departure from his team. So let's get right into it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, first up was qualifying. It rained, but according to the F1 site and broadcast, it was wet enough for intermediate tires, but not as bad as some people may have expected. So we had Williams, Logan Sargeant, crash in FP1. Ouch. This was allegedly caused by a mechanical issue, not driver error. So he joined qualifying late. He was eliminated in Q1 alongside Alex Albon, Zhou Guan Yu, Daniel Ricciardo, and Nico Hülkenberg. Here's a question. Does anybody know if Logan Sargeant has made it past Q1 this year?
I think he's done it once. I think it was in Baku, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, incredible memory.
Yeah.
Incredible memory, Nolan. We didn't just look that up.
No, definitely not.
No, not at all. Did we see the tweet this weekend? I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but the F1 troll tweet this weekend that said Logan Sargeant is mathematically eliminated from the championship.
That's pretty funny.
So from the coverage of that session, they were like, you got to feel for a few drivers here. Ricciardo just drifted wide, losing lap time that was enough to make it through Q2. Hülkenberg was out through no fault of his own thanks to being delayed in the pits by an issue, while Albon's flying lap came too early before the track had ramped up. So everybody eliminated in Q1. It was obviously not their fault, right? It was just circumstances.
Definitely.
We have Q2. Our guy, Stebi Ocon, he slid wide and he hit the wall on his side, damaging his front wing, and then he bounced before getting back on track. Thus, he was knocked out alongside Yuki Tsunoda, Pierre Gasly, Valtteri Bottas, and Kevin Magnussen. Magnussen was also given a penalty of 3 grid places for impeding Charles Leclerc.
Come on, Magnussen, what are you doing, Kev?
Get out of the way, guy! 5 teams made it through to Q3, Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari, Aston Martin, and McLaren, and just in time for the sun to finally come out. Even though he qualified on pole, Max Verstappen had to start 5 grid places back after taking a new gearbox. And you would think in a normal year that going back 5 grid places might be interesting. But in reality, Max just flies past everybody. So I wasn't super hopeful about this one, but maybe Nolan was.
In the Mercedes era, there were times when Lewis started at the back of the pack and still won, right? So I wasn't expecting anything less from Max. But, you know, I thought it was going to be nice to see Max have to do some overtakes this weekend. And as we'll see, he did.
Before the halfway period.
Yeah.
Before the halfway period. Yeah. Long before that. You know, you're right, Nolan, in that in the Mercedes era, Lewis did start way at the back sometimes and still win. I think that is the most fun. I love watching a driver work their way through the entire field. When it's just like 5 cars, it's kind of anticlimactic because it's over pretty quickly. If they can take the whole race to work their way up through the field, that's something. And Jason agrees with me.
Well, just like the Lewis Brazil sprint weekend was just kind of magical to watch because he would go from, I think it was 20th, and then he went up a bunch, and then he had a penalty, so he went back a bunch, and then he just went right back through it all again. And it was like, well, that was pretty amazing to watch. It's like Michael Jordan at his peak. It's like, this is insane.
Yes.
That's a great point. That's kind of where I'm at right now watching Max. I think now that we're at the summer break, you know, this first half of the season, I think people are starting to lose their the hype for the season with Max being so clearly dominant. We'll see if something changes after the break.
No.
But I think it's time to kind of revel in it a little bit and watch like a master at work, you know, like we did with Lewis, and just really appreciate, because like this is when any sort of like automotive or racing event happens, I'll usually think of it through the lens of like, huh, how's that past gas episode gonna play out in like 15 years, our automotive history show. We've talked about other greats like, you know, Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher and stuff. And at the time, watching those guys completely dominate must have been kind of underwhelming and boring as well at some points. So it's weird. At the time when you're watching it, it's kind of boring. But then in retrospect, it's hugely impressive. So why not just view it as hugely impressive right now as we get to watch it?
Well, when you watch Max's onboard the lap as he's passing Perez, it's kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an adult racing me. Like, it's like, it's the same car, and yet Max is like, everything happens perfectly, and you're watching Perez ahead, and the gap just gets smaller and smaller and smaller for the entire lap, and you're like, how is he doing this? How is that possible?
Yeah.
Like, they're both professionals. Like, both of them are paid to do this in the same car, and it was kind of magical to watch that lap. Like, I didn't really, you know, whatever. Max wins every time and I'm over it also, but I was like, dang, the guy is like quite good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
He's all right. He's fine. I think we make a good point here in that you have to appreciate things while they're happening, because if you're just miserable while things are happening, you don't get to appreciate history while it's being made.
Yes.
Like, in 50 years, we're going to talk about Max Verstappen leading by 30 seconds, sending the goofiest radio messages possible because he's bored. Like, appreciate it while it's happening, even if it's a little boring.
Yeah. Before we move on to the sprint, around qualifying, Alpine announced that sporting director Alain Permain and team principal Otmar Szafnauer would be leaving the team after the weekend before the summer break. In a statement, Alpine said, quote, "We would like to thank Otmar for his hard work over the past 18 months and for leading the team in achieving fourth place in the 2022 Constructors' Championship." Guys, what are your thoughts on this?
Before we have thoughts, I want to read what Otmar said about this, because in a way I agree with him, but in a way I was completely shocked. So he's talking about how you can't just like give someone a short period of time to make changes and then get rid of them, because he had made hires and changes that were going to go into effect next year and in 2025. So he said, and I quote, "I always say you can't get 9 women pregnant and hope to have a baby in a month."
I mean, he's totally right.
I mean, like, mathematically, this is correct, but why is he saying he always says, yeah, he's great at math, but he's like, "I always say you can't get 9 women." When are you having the opportunity to say this?
I mean, this guy, he
He's been holding on to that one for a while.
Yes, he has, Jason.
Regularly wears a vest on, he drinks his green juice every morning. He's got like a Labradoodle, like little dog, and that he's saying that. It's really funny.
Very bizarre.
I'm going to miss him. I hopefully he finds another job on the grid, because I like him. I like the guy for the reasons that I just mentioned.
The green juice. That was
like
one
leaving
reason.
Leaving it like, oh, I hope he finds a job. And just
I do. I hope he stays around. I think.
Any job.
Yeah, I hope he finds a job. He's like setting up Crafty or something for these teams. No, I think guys like this, he's gotta find another position on another team, right? Like, what if Ferrari picks him up?
I met Otmar so Alpine had me at Miami this year, and I got the chance to sit down and chat with him. And honestly, like, he was awesome to chat with as like an engineer. Like, mm-hmm. he loves getting into that kind of thing. And it was like really cool just asking him, you know, whatever questions I had about Formula One. And he'd give this like very analytical, detailed response. And it was like, ooh, like, I like this guy. Like, he's very methodical in the way that he works. And you could just like hear it. And like, when he came and talked to the hospitality suite, he was like, look, our whole point of this entire sport is like to entertain you. So hopefully over the next, 2 days, this is actually fun for everyone in here. And like, some exciting things happen. And like, every little scenario that he was in, he was like analyzing, like, what is the appropriate thing to do in this scenario? And how do I like provide that? And it was like, oh, like the guy, I don't know. He just seemed very smart to me.
He seems very thoughtful. I love this detailed breakdown of his personality, because really the reason we picked him in Drive to Survive was he kind of felt like a little flower crown princess. And we were like, that's our guy. And then Jason's like got this detailed list of his personality.
Well, I liked him. I was like, oh, he seems cool. And I felt kind of bad, because like, they were doing rough up at that point. They had a good weekend in Miami, relatively speaking. But you could feel it in the air. Like, people basically said it, like, hey, things aren't going well. Yeah, you gotta do better.
Do we necessarily think, though, that things not going well all traces to Otmar? Because I feel like a lot of the things that have happened have been because of Pierre and Esteban. Like, they've been doing that. Like, Esteban's penalties, like,
yes,
a lot it's of like this its own has meme been now. Them. Yeah.
You can't read like any Formula One post now without like 1,000 second penalty for Esteban. And it's like, this has nothing. This is just a picture of Max.
I think we also have to remember that Alpine, I'm thinking about Cyril. I'm thinking about how they've had a few different team principals over the last 10 years, 5 years even. I mean, that also says something else. It's like a Ferrari situation. You know, where
they just
it's like,
keep going through them.
Keep going through these principles and hope that fixes the problem, where it's like maybe there's something structurally going on.
Yeah, it's like they have a checklist of like, what do you do if you did not win? Fire team principle is like one of those on the checklist.
It is. Yes. Okay. It really is.
You know, I think it is in the best interest of team principles. And I don't know, this may be the case already, but they need to get the college football coach deal going.
Oh.
Where you have to buy me out for an exorbitant amount. That discourages you from buying me out, but you buy me out anyway. That is a grift that I would.
And then
get
he
in
doesn't
on.
Need to get a job. We don't go live your life off. Yeah. You don't need a job.
But also, I'm just thinking about the other teams that have had longstanding principals, like Red Bull with Christian Horner, obviously Mercedes, Toto Wolff. You've got to let them cook. You got to let the team principals cook. Like, these recipes that they're putting together, if you will, they take a long time. You know, it's not like you just throw them in the microwave. You got. It's like in Alpine's sense, it's like a coq vivant, right? It's like a chicken kind of pot roast deal where these veggies, you got to let them sit for a while.
I mean, they all travel with their own, which I didn't really realize. But when I was with Alpine in Miami, they bring their chefs everywhere with them. And it's like, wait, y'all are just eating. Yeah, y'all are just eating this incredible cuisine like constantly, and they're like, yeah, like we bring our French chefs and they make us these amazing meals the That's whole sick. Weekend, every weekend. It's like, oh, great.
Damn. You don't have the supervillain has a ton of influence. You don't have that vibe unless you let someone stay there for a long time.
Yes.
So like Toto, the reason he had so much influence in 2021, like emailing everybody and freaking out on the broadcast, is because he's Toto Wolff. If you only let someone be there for 2 years, it's not going to do anything. Christian Horner terrifies everyone because he has become the Red Bull supervillain.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen in a couple of years. And you need, in F1, you need political clout in order to get things to go your way. Like, honestly, if Red Bull had a different team principal who had been there for less time, would we have a different discussion about their penalty budget-wise? Maybe. Who knows? Like, you have less influence when you're there for fewer years.
Definitely. I mean, I wonder if that's a factor in why these teams kind of are willing to get rid of their team principals so fast. Maybe the higher-ups are afraid of letting their team principals get too powerful. Maybe that's possible.
You solved it.
Maybe. I mean, honestly, maybe. I've never taken a business class, so I don't know. But
me neither.
Yeah, I've never read a business book. But you know
what?
I
thought you were about to say never read a book in
general.
Never
read a book.
I was like, damn, Nolan.
I've read books. I've definitely slowed down on the rate that I'm reading them.
I know what
them, they are. I've seen them. But I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe in Ferrari's case.
You know, I think another interesting analogy here, though, is like some of the teams will... you know, they give a very short duration of time for their driver to prove their worth, right? Like Red Bull, notorious for this. And some of the teams do not. You know, they give them a longer time. And yet, like the ones we're talking about, like Red Bull keeps the, you know, the upper echelon intact pretty well for a long period of time. But like, you know, De Vries is out after half a season. So it's interesting to think about it from a driver's standpoint as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I feel like the more tiers you have, the more you can afford to find those longstanding people and get rid of the people you want to get rid of. Whereas when you're with Alpine, you know, you're just working with Alpine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Otmar, we're going to miss you. I hope we see your face back in the pit wall soon, buddy. Keep drinking that green juice. Go pet your dog. and we'll hopefully see you soon.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It was a sprint race weekend this weekend. The start of the sprint was delayed due to rain. Surprise, surprise. Another surprise. Max won.
Whoa. Yeah.
But the rest of the podium was pretty shocking, though. Oscar Piastri claiming his first sort of P2. It was a sprint P2, but a P2 nonetheless. And Pierre
Can
Gasly.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah,
Can
go
I make yes. a comment right now? Okay, you said sort of, and that... You saying sort of is my exact problem with these sprint weekends because nobody knows what to do with them. And like Piastri had an amazing result and nobody knows how to congratulate him. Everyone's like, well, he did something. And everybody's job. Like, well, what did he do? And they're like, I don't know, but he was fast for Saturday.
For 10 laps. Like, he was fast for 10 laps because it got short.
No one
You're
knows
so right.
how to congratulate these people. And it's like, that was his first... It was his first what? And then no one knows what to say next. And it's like, this is so awkward. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
That's actually so fair because there was, I feel like we had a discussion earlier this year where Nico Hülkenberg almost got a podium in a sprint race. And we were like, how do you even classify that for the man who notoriously has never gotten a podium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
The announcers correct themselves too. They'll be like, oh, first podium. Well, okay, it wasn't a Grand Prix podium. It was a, and it was like, come on, like this awkward dance like needs to be corrected if you're going to do this.
Yes.
If they were going to come out with sprint races, they needed to print a book of terminology, kind of like the AP style book of Formula One racing. Oh. And this is how you classify it.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, because no one knows what we're doing.
Pierre Gasly. Came in P3 on that podium, the sort of podium. So Oscar Piastri became the first rookie to lead a racing lap since Esteban Gutierrez back in 2013. Haven't heard that name in a while, I bet. Gasly scored 6 points, which matched his highest total from any Grand Prix this season as well.
It's particularly important because points are lower, much lower in sprint races than in the Grand Prix. So the fact that he scored more points in a sprint race than he has in a Grand Prix this year, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Wow.
The tiers are slightly kinder in this sprint race, though, because you just go 1 point, which is...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just fewer points in general. But yeah, you're so right. The tiers are kinder.
Unfortunately, we had some negativity during the sprint race as well. Sergio Perez and Fernando Alonso DNF'd out. Alonso, he spun out on lap 4 on his birthday, no less.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
He's 42. How old is that in Formula One years? Like, kind of like dog years?
14 plus 280, so 294.
Oh, yeah, let Jason answer.
Do we do it wrong?
No. Jason, you are the engineer. You do the math in your head. 7 times 42.
Yeah, 294 is what I went with.
So, Fernando Alonso is 294 in dog years, which means next year he will pass 300. Uh-oh. Congratulations, Fernando. That's huge. So, Lewis Hamilton and Sergio Perez came together. Perez was left with damage and had to eventually retire, and Lewis Hamilton received a 5-second penalty for causing a collision, which dropped him from P4 to P7. And there was some debate online whether this was egregious enough to deserve a penalty.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the debate is worthy. I feel like it's worthy of debate. I don't have super strong opinions about the incident. And like, you know, neither of them are going to win the race.
That's so true. So true.
But I've seen things that I felt like should have gotten a penalty, not.
Yes. And we had Jenson Button on here. And Jenson was talking about going from open wheel racing in Europe to something like NASCAR. And he was like, where I come from, you can't hit each other. And then you come over here, and as long as you say sorry, you can kind of hit each other as hard as you want. Like, and it's true, you America. Can. America, that's how we operate over here. Just tear up the race cars. I don't know. It's a very interesting dynamic to debate whether someone caused a collision when it actually is a pretty minor set of contact.
Yeah.
The way I see it is that they're definitely trying to discourage us with these new budget caps in place. I think that's something to keep in mind, like for the context for these penalties, is like they want to discourage as much collisions as they can. They want to like instill that and make it so like in 3 years' time, like drivers don't even have an inkling of putting themselves in any position where another car is going to get damaged, because that's going to eat into your budget if you damage that car. And with that budget cap shrinking every season now for the next couple years, that makes sense to me why they do this.
Yeah, that's fair. Logan Sargeant got a 5-second penalty for speeding in the pit lane, and he finished P16. I feel like if I were that far down in the field, I would not be in that much of a hurry. Yeah.
For real.
He's like, I'll do it in the pits.
I'll do it in the pits. Go super fast. Yeah, I feel like I would kind of pay attention to my speed in pit lane if I were that far down in the field.
Here's what I'll say. No one's faster than Sargeant in the pits.
It was like that time when we had the 2-lap race at Spa a few years ago, and oh, Nikita Mazepin got the he got the fastest lap bonus point because there were no green laps, but he didn't get the bonus point because he didn't finish in the top 10. You have to finish in the top 10. And so he had the fastest lap, little purple highlight under safety car the whole time. And it was like,
oh my God,
man, Nikita, that's some history right there.
All right, so during the first lap of the Belgian Grand Prix, Carlos Sainz and McLaren rookie Oscar Piastri made contact after Carlos's Ferrari locked up, and he pretty much pushed Piastri into the wall. The McLaren was forced to retire, and a safety car was sent out, but everyone was back racing by lap 3. Some controversy early in the race with this incident. Yeah,
race ending, no penalties. So this is why you go back to like Hamilton and be like, was it that big of a deal? Like they touched.
They just weren't looking, Jason.
Just the first lap. If they could just watch the first lap.
Just the first lap.
Maybe the first corner.
Tune in.
Yeah.
Also, what is the name of the first corner? Because whenever I hear it, I hear the sauce. And
the sauce.
They say it on
La Sauce. Like, I don't know.
La Source.
La Source.
Oh, Source.
Not
But
La
then
sauce.
Just like with a British accent. La Sauce. La Sauce. La Sauce.
Yeah, that's kinda, it.
You know, it
that's
sounds
what you're
like
hearing.
Sauce. Okay.
Yeah. So we had that incident in La Sauce.
La Sauce.
Too deep in the sauce. Piastri's radio message was very existentially sad. Quote, I don't know what he was doing. I was there and just turned in like I didn't exist.
Ouch.
It was sad, man. From what it looks like to me, Carlos and Lewis were going in that corner, right? Carlos is pretty preoccupied with Lewis, trying not to damage his side pod, but in turn completely ignores Oscar's car, who there's just, it's that onboard was crazy to watch because like Oscar's like going in, he has no space. He has to make that right hand turn, but that barrier is coming up, and then Carlos like completely cuts him off, sends him into the wall there. Could have been a lot worse, I think. Could have had a bit of a pile up there.
I have the solution for all of these problems. Turn F1 cars into swangers. So if you don't know about swangers, they are when you have on your wheels.
It's going to cause more problems.
Yes, but less officiating problems. Your wheels, you have like little spokes stick out for like a foot. Then they couldn't hit each other without popping each
other's
tires.
They'd have a lot of space.
They'd have tons of space. It would be great.
But wouldn't Max just go around popping everybody's tires?
Yes, he would. He would. 100%. He'd be like, oops, it was the wind.
So a few laps later, Carlos calls into the Ferrari pit wall and asks about his side pod damage. And he's told by his crew that he has a 5% balance shift in the car, which is huge. There's a huge hole in the side now, which I feel like could have been covered up with some duct tape on a pit stop or something. But then on lap 23... Sainz had to come in and they retired the car. As for the other Ferrari, though, Charles Leclerc did quite well. The man started on pole and finished on the podium in P3. But here's a sad stat to go along with that. Leclerc has failed to win his last 9 starts from first on the grid.
Ooh.
Bummer.
Not a stat you want.
This goes back to the Ferrari thing, which is they'll start first and then 10 laps into the race, the engineer goes, targeting P5, no, targeting P5. And you're like, what? You started first.
I mean, on that note, there wasn't any sort of like terrible Ferrari strategy call this weekend.
Nope.
It was pretty drama free. There was no snarky radio messages from the drivers to their engineers telling them, hey, how about you let me figure this out? It was pretty drama free aside from Sainz's side pod.
So I was just going to say what I liked about what Ferrari did this weekend in that the announcers, and I was kind of thinking the same thing. Once Carlos had that damage and they were like, hey, 5% aero shift, it was like, okay, there's no chance this guy wins. But they kept him out. And I was like, this is interesting that they're keeping him out. But what they were doing, which I didn't realize, is they were waiting for that rain to see what the rain would do. And then once the rain that wasn't rain happened and it was over, they're like, okay, all of the rain is over now. We have no chance. Like, there's no random flukes that are going to, like, create chaos that allow us to win. And then they just retired him. Because it was like, obviously the car was damaged. It probably wasn't going to do anything. But if the rain had some craziness happen, maybe he could have gotten up there in the points. Then once that was established, hey, that's not going to happen. Retired it. Saved the engine.
For sure.
This is why we invited you on the show, Jason. That freaking, that next level analysis.
Jason texted me and was like, I took notes. And then I was like, wow, that's incredible. And he was like, I took them on Thursday. They say Max Verstappen wins. We have Carlos and we have existential sad boy Oscar Piastri, both out of the race. They, you know, change out of their fire suits and come look at the computer screens and look sad. The other McLaren, Lando Norris, finished the race exactly where he started in P7. His early race messages were confusing. They were kind of garbled. At one point, he told his engineer, none of this is helping, mate. By lap 11, he was struggling with his tires. For everyone on the grid, tire wear was an issue. And by lap 15, everyone but Pierre, Lance, and George Russell had taken their first pit stop. But then around lap 18, Lando came in for a second stop that was slow, and he got soft tires right before the rain. And I was watching this, and I was like, it's about, like, we think it's going to rain. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was a pretty weird move.
It looked like the absolute worst move possible. And yet, like, looking back, it was the absolute smartest move possible. So it was like, dang, they nailed it. And everyone thought that they were dumb while they were doing it.
I thought they were dumb.
I did, too. I was like, whoa, I wrote it down like, this is stupid. And then, like, we got that 10-minute period of rain, not rain, and it was like softs were what everyone went to that did change tires for the rain. So it was like, oh, McLaren actually nailed it somehow.
Except the stop was slow, but they did nail the thought process.
They knew what they should do, which tire they should put on. They just weren't sure how to put it on the car.
It was wild. Like, watching it, you see the pit stop, Lando falls down the order, and then 10 minutes later, he's back in P7. I was like, wait, how? What happened?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
They nailed it.
Passed him in the pit. Also, we saw McLaren's kind of lack of straight line speed, at least at this track. I think they set up the car expecting a lot of rain, so higher downforce and whatnot, and that kind of that hurt them on the straights. We didn't really see that rocket ship McLaren that we've been used to in the past couple race weekends. I'm sure they'll be back after the break. I'm sure they'll be just fine.
Yeah, they've got some time to think about it.
Speaking of thinking, it's time once again to talk about the racing ruminator himself. The man with the plan. The guy with observations on the racetrack. Max Verstappen. Let's get specific, okay, on how dominant this guy is this season, all right? He started in P6 due to that 5th-place gearbox penalty, but was leading the race by lap 17. Max won by over 21 seconds ahead of his teammate Sergio Perez. And as a result, Max is on the verge of tying Sebastian Vettel's consecutive race win record. This win at Spa made 8th, and the next one will be 9th, which Vettel set 10 years ago in 2013.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, again, this is another reason to get excited about Max winning now, because now I'm rooting for him to break these records. I want to see this happen. Might as well, if we're watching it.
What else are we doing?
What else are we going to do? Might as well break that record. Might as well root for him, you know?
Were we a little surprised that it took him until lap 17 to be in the lead? I really thought he'd be in there in the first 10 laps.
That's fair, yeah.
There was a moment where he was like holding a like 2.5 second gap with Perez. And I was like, what's going on? Like, they're like equal? This doesn't make any sense. Like, there was this brief moment of, I don't know, maybe Max was just like daydreaming and lost.
He was sketching in his notepad while he's driving, like, the beautiful landscape around him.
But usually if he's not in first, it's like, no, like literally nothing matters except first. And there was this like kind of pause that was like, what's going on? And then they pitted and he got angry and yeah. Oh, I was just going to say another fun stat about like Max's dominance. If he sat out the next four races, he'd still be leading the championship.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Four races if he sat out all four. And like probably could be more because do you think Perez would win all of them?
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. I say this all the time. He should go run NASCAR trucks at Talladega because that is what Max wants to do.
And he could do it and still win the championship.
Yes, he could. That's just like,
you know what? I race multiple series and I win them even though I miss races.
I mean, honestly, he probably has like, it's probably in his contract that he cannot do this. They honestly probably don't let him because they don't want him to get hurt.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
So this also marks Max's 13th consecutive podium finish, the fourth longest streak in history. The last time Max wasn't on the podium was last year at Brazil, where he finished sixth.
Wow, incredible memory again.
Yeah.
We didn't just look that up.
Like an elephant, you know?
Oh, yeah. Nola dude. Everything.
Oh, my God. I read this story about an elephant. This elephant trampled this person. And then at the funeral,
probably
at the funeral, a gang of elephants showed up and like trampled them again.
And it turned
out,
real?
And it turned out that this person who got killed by the elephant was like a member of like a poaching gang or something like that.
Oh, I vaguely remember this.
So if you're out, don't mess with elephants, dude. They will mess you up. They will come to your funeral.
Apparently now orcas are taking down boats.
I was about to say elephants are the orcas of the land.
I love it. I'm team elephant.
You know what? Good for the elephants.
I'm team orca as
well. I like in this scenario that something is being the orca and not the elephant of. I like that.
You're right. I love that.
All right. So that's been the nature portion of the show.
Back to Max. He hasn't lost a GP or a sprint in nearly 4 months.
That's insane.
Have any of y'all gone 4 months without losing?
No. Damn. I just lost the game because of Jason. Are we aware of the game?
I am aware of what it is, but I don't really actively participate.
That's the only way to win.
That's the only way to win is to not participate.
Most impressively from this weekend, Max may be the first F1 driver in history to win a race while in a war of words with his engineer, Gianpiero Lambiasi. This was funny. On lap 13, Max was told, hey, don't forget, Max, use your head. And Max retorted, are we doing it or what? Like, are we going to stop? And then Lambiasi said, hey, just follow my instructions. Max is like, I just want to know what the car is doing. And then Lambiasi, Max, just follow my instruction and trust it, okay? They got in a little tiff. It was kind of funny. A lap later, Max is asked if he can make his tires last until the rain arrives, to which he says, quote, I can't see the weather radar, can I? So I don't know. So Red Bull has him pit. A little bratty.
This is what happens to me every year in that I'm a very like forgetful and forgiving person, mostly because I'm very forgetful. But Max, like
I the forget and forgive. Year, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I do both. Max, at the beginning of the year, I'm like, oh, I forget that last year he was like really rude and mean and did these cruel things to everybody. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? He's not so bad. He's really good. He's out there. He's doing his thing. He's winning these races. I really like the guy. And then I'll like see videos of him like interacting with his girlfriend. I don't know if they're together, married or whatever's daughter. And they're like really pleasant interactions. Like, oh, he seems like a nice guy. Like, okay, everything's good. And then like, you know, within his own team, he's just such a like the people on his team. And it's like, no, I don't like that. That's why I don't like this guy. And I remember like all the other things that happened in the past. And then I'm like, that's why I don't like him. But yeah, this was just another example of that, because I feel like this season, again, partly because he's in first place all the time, and he's much nicer when he's in first place than any other place.
True.
But I was like, oh, like, you know, he seems like actually pretty likable. And I think people can grow and become better. And so I'm always like, oh, each year, you know what? This year, Max is going to be nice year. But yeah.
Christian Horner has described the relationship between Max and Lambiasi as like an old married couple. Like they will get in each other's faces and stuff. They will bicker with each other, but they're still a unit, you know?
Yes. And so if the engineer in this case is totally cool with it, then like I have no place to judge, right? I can't be like, oh, Max is rude. If the engineer is like, no, 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 like this is us, that's fine. But it doesn't always sound like that.
You know, I watched again the other day. I had a ride along with Max last year in a Honda Civic Type R, and I watched the in-car footage again. And it just reiterates that I actually think Max is funny. And I think we just like kind of misconstrue a lot of the things he says as meaner than they are. Mm-hmm. And like there are times when Max is mean and Max does stuff he shouldn't. But in general, he's just like this very serious dude with like very dry humor.
Yes.
And he's actually kind of fun to be around.
Yeah.
I believe that fully. And also I think the part where he was saying like, let's do some more pit stop training because I can push ahead enough of a gap mm-hmm. so that we can do another pit stop. It was like, that was a joke, like very clearly, but like the way he said it was not said as if I am telling yes. a joke. And so like, if you don't understand that, like, you know, dry sense of humor, it was like, oh, this. And so a lot of it is that with this engineer, and it's like hard to sparse out, okay, when is he being rude and when is he just like giving these little jabs that are like yes. fun between them?
And what's funny is, so when I got in the car for the ride along last year, it was Max and Sergio. And I was like, Max, can y'all race? Because they're on the track at the same time. And Max was like, they told us not to. And I was like, so does that mean you're going to or not? And he was like, let's do it. And so we got out on track and we got away from where like the people directing him were. We got to the other side of the track and he just like kind of stopped and waited for Checo to catch him and then started racing him. And we were having a ball. We were having the time of our lives. Like me and Max were just joking with each other and having fun. We pull it into the pits and I get out of the car. And the end of the video, the person comes to the window and goes, Max, you have to give him a gap. And Max is like, okay. But me and Max were like screwing around, having fun, like making yes. jokes with each other. He's funny.
I fully believe he's funny. Yeah, I think he is as well. Yeah.
Oh, Nolan, what else was he saying?
Well, you know, on lap 33, Lambiasi tells him, hey, you used a lot of tire on the last outlap, Max. Not sure that was sensible. To which Max responded by setting the fastest lap of the race so far. See, that's funny. That's funny.
That's funny. Yeah. He's funny.
And it's also one of those like Michael Jordan jabs, you know, where like, it's like, and then I took it personally. It's yeah. like, it's, he tells him he can't do something. So he does it like even more and better and still wins the race by like yes. a crushing amount. And so it's like, no, I can do literally anything and I will dominate this sport. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh dang, statement made.
It's crazy. Yeah. And then finally lap 34, Lambiasi says, quote, this tire had reasonable degradation in the first stint. I'd ask you to use your head a bit more, to which Max replied, I could also push and we do another stop, a little bit of pit stop training, like you mentioned, Jason. So pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, Max has been a in the past, but I think it's time for us to move on a little bit and accept that he's funny.
At one point, I think a little after the pit stop training thing, he came over the radio and did his usual weather update, which is what he's doing now because I think he's bored. He's like, it's really windy out here. I'm having to hold the wheel really tight. And we're just like,
oh, you got to hold the wheel really tight.
Yeah, that was so strange.
Oh, no, Max. You're leading by 22 seconds and you have to hold the wheel tight? I'm sorry.
That one didn't land. That was definitely like an open mic. He's trying it out.
Yeah.
It's not going to go in the tight, in the, you know, the 10-minute set, the 15.
Oh, my goodness.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The rest of the field finished way behind Max, but there were a couple of redeeming factors. At Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton got fastest lap. Good for you, Lewis. Meanwhile, George Russell was on a one-stop strategy, and he put on softs at lap 23. He moved up two places from P8 to P6. Good for George. Yuki Tsunoda finished with that last point. He had
get
a pretty
it, Yuki.
Good... Yeah, go Yuki. He started P11, but he got as high as P6 around lap 5, and he finished in 10th. Meanwhile, his new teammate Daniel Ricciardo is still getting his bearings at AlphaTauri. He started P19 after he got a lap time deleted during qualifying, and he only managed to move up a few places to P16.
Yeah.
Alpine had a good weekend aside from firing everybody. Pierre got P3 in the sprint, and then during the Grand Prix, Esteban Ocon started P14 and finished P8. Wow. Here's my thought on Daniel Ricciardo. I understand why he went back into the Red Bull system, but it would have been much more entertaining for him to go do something else, such as NASCAR, than for him to fart around in an AlphaTauri car.
Yeah, but then you don't get to go to Belgium.
True. You go to Kansas.
Yeah.
I think it's a little dangerous, too, because I feel like there's a decent chance Yuki drives better.
Yeah.
And if Yuki does drive better for the remaining of the season, like, it might end Ricardo's career.
Definitely. So it's like tough. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if he was doing something for a whole year in another race series and then came back and got like a fresh start, like I feel like it makes the future more hopeful. Like now he really has to perform in a terrible car that somehow Yuki has like figured out.
But here's the question. Our thought the whole time since Daniel Ricciardo rejoined the Red Bull system is that Daniel Ricciardo is being used kind of as a threat with Checo. Like, hey, Checo, perform or we're going to put Daniel in the car.
Right.
If it's not Daniel, then who is it?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, if Yuki outperforms Daniel, why would they put Daniel in it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So is it
like,
Yuki?
He's got to perform.
Well, I mean, as you've seen, I think... Honestly, I have to give props to Sergio for kind of bouncing back these past two races. Ever since Daniel came on board, he's been doing really well. So
yes, I'm sure he has nightmares every single night. But I mean, it's not Daniel's fault exactly if he farts around in an AlphaTauri car for the rest of the year, because that's really all that car does is fart around.
Yeah.
But the optics are not great. And also, like, I was talking to people during the race and they were like, I totally forgot Daniel Ricciardo was in this race. If he went and did something else, like media wise and brand wise for him, everyone would know he was in that race. It's hard to even remember that he's in the Formula One race in an AlphaTauri car.
Yeah. That's a good point, and it's sad.
I mean, we've got a lot more racing this season to go, so we'll see what happens after the summer break. And I think we will see even though it's only been two races since he's been back, I think we will see like a refreshed Daniel Ricciardo since everybody else also has to take a long break. So we'll see when they come back.
Alex Albon had a good race, but third pit stop squashed his chances at the points.
Yeah, he was up in the points for sure.
Logan Sargeant also didn't get points, but... I don't think we were expecting that.
Poor guy.
Yeah, you know.
Poor guy.
Yeah, Williams looked really great. I mean, they were fast as hell around here at Spa until that third pit stop. That's really unfortunate. Well, to sum it all up, the podium was Max Verstappen, followed by Sergio Perez with that Red Bull 1-2, and then Charles Leclerc. Then came Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, George Russell, and Lando Norris, and finally, Esteban Ocon, Lance Stroll, and Yuki Tsunoda with the final points of the grid.
Our fastest lap went to our guy Lewis Hamilton. Driver of the day was Max Verstappen. Yeah, good for Max. And our DNFs were Oscar Piastri and Carlos Sainz.
You know what? I thought this was a pretty interesting race. Even though it was kind of like a foregone conclusion with Max winning, there was still a lot of midfield battles, and that rain coming in was pretty interesting. I always like watching Spa when it's not completely rained out.
I mean, the delays suck. Like, Saturday, I am kind of glad that I didn't, like, dedicate time towards, because it was like, man, there's so many delays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, bummer, because during the race, it's like, it would have been cool if they had to go to Inners, because it would have added a lot of drama.
Yes.
I mean, it's cool that anything at all happened, so it was, like, great that we got a little sprinkle. But... Spa is also one of those places where, like, it just dumps and then it gets red flagged. And it's like, well, nobody wants that because it's boring and you have to sit around all day.
We saw a lot of great moves, too. Like, I think it was Esteban Ocon going around the outside of Alex Albon or someone else after that straight there. Like, that was a pretty cool. We saw a couple moves around the outside there, which I was not expecting. Then finally, Lando Norris going around the outside. Is it Ravage, I think, that long right hander. before the second sector of the track. Anyway, Lando going around the outside of, who was it? I think it was Logan Sargeant.
If it's not the sauce, I don't know what corner it is.
I was about to say, if it's not
but
the
no,
sauce,
it was
we
like,
don't got
it. Was a, it was a turn that you just don't pass around the outside because it's really hard to do. And Lando made it look super easy. That was very exciting. We saw, I think, Alex Albon into the bus stop, like a late breaking move. There's a lot of great passes in this race, a lot of variety.
For sure.
And also we got to see how freaking fast the Red Bull is with DRS, even against its own. It's like Max passing Sergio with DRS was like, how is this car? They're the same. How is this one even faster?
I think everyone, like anybody listening, should, if you didn't, like, watch the onboard of Max on lap 16 before he passes Perez, because it's just kind of magical. And you look at Perez and you're like, dude, how are you an F1 driver? And like, obviously he's better. Like, he's one of the best drivers in the world. But like, comparatively to Max in that lap, you just, it's just like mind blowing how good Max is.
Yeah. It's insane.
And I mean, a thing we have talked about on the show is that the Red Bull car is built to Max. So anybody who is his teammate has to wrestle with that because Max likes a very specific car. Yeah. But it is wild to watch Max pass a teammate. It's ridiculous. Also, Fernando Alonso, our birthday boy, only leads Lewis Hamilton by 1 point for fourth in the championship.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's our battle
they
right
had
there.
Some strong momentum, and that's completely gone.
It's gone. It's gone. Aston is... It's rough out there for Aston.
Well, I think everyone else has gained momentum and finally caught up.
True.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. So yeah, we got the summer break coming up. But first, it's time for Boyfriend of the Week. Jason, this is our recurring weekly segment where we acknowledge who's the best, okay? It can be anybody. It can be a driver. It can be a car, moment, team lead, like Otmar Schaffnauer.
Poor Otmar.
Could be somebody online. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. It is also middle school rules, so it's for this week only. It's like, who's our person this week? I'll just lead off. I'll say Sergio Perez is my boyfriend of the week this week.
Oh, we're is that like a kindness thing?
Yeah,
like
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
No,
pity boyfriend.
This is not for pity. This is an acknowledgement of a job well done so okay. far.
Did
you know?
See him on lap 16?
I did not. but, you know, getting that second place spot on this race, showing that, hey, you know what? Maybe he's got his juice back a little bit.
Some juice.
He's okay. Maybe not juice, but he's getting his groove back. You know, he had a rough patch and now he's doing what he needs to for Red Bull. And therefore, you get to be my boyfriend of the week, Sergio. How's that?
Wow.
You are mediocre plus boyfriend of the week.
My boyfriend of the week. I'm going to start with a little story. Okay, so on Monday, I was interviewing Alex Bowman. He is the driver of the 48 car in the NASCAR Cup Series. And I logged on and Zoom wasn't working. And so I called his PR person and then my audio wasn't working. And so I couldn't, like, this was computer and phone. Nothing was working. So I FaceTime his PR person and I say, can you add Alex to the FaceTime since nothing is working? So we had this fun little FaceTime for like half an hour and Alex is renovating his house. So he is stuck upstairs, I think upstairs, in a room with his two dogs. And it's just him and the dogs while he's remodeling. And one of his dogs, Finn, could not just let the interview happen. So Finn spent half the time just nosing in to the interview, and I posted a little screenshot of the FaceTime with Finn on there, and my cat Portia was also on there. So my boyfriend of the week is Finn for constantly interrupting. Thank you. You're an adorable dog. I appreciate the fun.
Hell yeah.
Way to go, Finn.
Way to go, Finn. Jason, have you had sufficient time?
Yeah, I feel like I didn't understand it at first, and now I understand it. And so I was going to say that my boyfriend of the week is my cat, but now my cat Bucket is the greatest cat in the world. But now that I understand from Nolan, like, what the premise is, I'm going to go with Portia, because, like, she's fine as a cat. Like, she's an okay cat. You know, good cat.
Great.
Jason! Ouch!
Well, that Nolan, this is what we're doing, right? We just like pick someone that did all right.
Damn it!
I mean, sure, yeah. I think this is a great, this is a momentous occasion. Porsche's never been.
Porsche is going to be
boyfriend of the week.
She's
so
gonna be extremely offended.
No, she's a cat. So she's
no,
like,
she'll
great,
be honored
fine
to be boyfriend yeah of the week.
Cats don't care. Cats don't listen to podcasts. So, I think she'll be very happy with this. And that's a hilarious
I'm
pick.
I'm speechless. Jason is now banned from the Donut Racing Show. I'm so speechless. You, listener, are not banned from the Donut Racing Show. And I appreciate you for listening. Next week is summer break, but we'll be here talking about the season so far. And there might be a couple of guests yeah joining us. We're waiting to confirm.
Because I won't be here. I'll be at the Bonneville Salt Flats. If you are going to be out at Bonneville, you'll see me. Say what's up.
Just call him.
Just call him. Yeah, call me. You guys have my number. Call me.
There we go. Tune in here to see who shows up. Tune in to Bonneville if you want Nolan to show up and to talk
sure
to him. How exciting.
Yes. What there definitely will be is a boyfriend of the week of the season so far with High School Rules. Whoa. More predictions for the rest of the season and maybe some conspiracy corners as well. So definitely tune in.
In the meantime, make sure to subscribe and tell all of your friends to tune in to the Donut Racing Show. If you want to leave us a 5-star and kindly worded review, it really helps us out. And let me say that a couple of weeks ago, I ended the show by saying, if you're a man who thinks he could land a commercial airplane in an emergency, leave us a 5-star review and tell us that you could. And if you go to Apple Podcasts, there are a bunch of 5-star reviews that say the title is plain, and then the body says, I could definitely do it. Thank you so much for doing that. It made my day. I was in bed at like 11 p.m. reading the reviews, and I couldn't believe that so many of you did that.
Good stuff, guys.
Hubris is the way to 5-star reviews.
Exactly. We also have an email address where you can get in touch. It's donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. Here's one we got recently. Hi, friends. I love the episode over the Spanish Grand Prix. Over the last month or so, I binged all of Pass Gas and DRS while at work. This episode specifically made me laugh out loud at work when you played the sound bit of George confusing his sweat for rain, because I'm a union construction worker and did the exact same thing yesterday while sweating my ass off in the Texas heat. I've been trying to get into F1 for a while now, but could never find a good inroad, and your show has been perfect. I look forward to listening to it every week for both the race recaps and the in-betweens. Live strong, Sean.
All right,
thank you, Sean.
That was great.
And thank you, Jason, for coming on the show, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate y'all having me. This was fun.
This was really great. Yeah. Check out Jason's channel, Engineering Explained. If for some reason you've never watched Jason's videos, what the heck are you doing?
He's smart. He'll teach you things.
I mean, so many.
YouTube.com/AlanisKing.
Yeah.
That's my channel. Go check it out.
That's me. Yep. Go check it out. That's Jason. He's really smart. He'll be in front of a whiteboard.
Do you have anything else you're working on that you'd like to pitch? Yeah. Hey, do you have anything to pitch? Do you have anything you'd like to plug, Jason?
Nope.
Okay. Hey, full circle. Full circle.
Gonna give my Fernando Alonso response.
All
right. I wasn't prepared for this. Nope.
Nope.
Jason, do you have a podcast? Have you thought about starting one up? Because I feel like I would listen to that.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. I have thought about it a lot. And I have documents of ideas and stuff. Uh-huh. And that's where it dies.
I think you should look into that a little more.
Yeah, it seems fun, and that's why I like it. aside from that, life has so many things that you can do, and you got to choose.
That's true.
So true, Jason.
That's
wow
very true. Again, check out Jason's channel, Engineering Explained. And if you're not familiar with Donut, that's us. We also have a YouTube channel, as well as an automotive history show podcast called Past Gas. Please check that out. If you haven't already, follow DRS on Twitter. Is it X now?
We're just ignoring that. Just Twitter.
Yeah, follow the Donut Racing Show on social media @Donut Racing Show and email us @DonutRacingShow@DonutMedia.com. Follow Alanis at Alanis N. King on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and all the stuff.
There's no N on YouTube. I didn't realize this until the other day. There's no N. It's just Alanis King. Oh. Alan is King.
Oh, yeah. Yay. Okay. And then you've also made a lot of appearances on Doug DeMiro's channel.
Yes, yeah, so I'm on Doug DeMiro's channel and Cars and Bids. Jason is going to be on Cars and Bids soon. The whole gang is everywhere.
All right. Liz was not here this week, but you can follow Elizabeth at eliz_blackstock on Twitter and elizablackstock on Instagram. And follow me at Nolan J. Sykes on everything. Jason, give us your socials one more time.
YouTube.com/AlanIsKing.
There we go. Yeah.
Just Google Engineering Explained, and hopefully it's me that pops up.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Jason. You're the best. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yay! See everybody next time. Bye!
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.